What is up, everybody, and welcome to the tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks, and we are recording on a Thursday night. It is now November 6th. This is episode 267. We had a little bit too much stuff come up last week, so we weren't able to hop on the mics, but this is as good a week as any to get back and discuss some Texas Tech football after a victory in a place you haven't won at since 2008 with a victory over Kansas State this past weekend. And the biggest game in quite some time in Lubbock, Texas, with College Game Day and the BYU Cougars all headed to town for an 11 a.m. kickoff on Saturday morning. So with all of that said, let's go.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
All right, Dustin. Well, before we dive into the Kansas State game and recap that and dive into the BYU, the latest news Tuesday night while the Red Raiders were playing basketball, the college football playoff standings were revealed for the first time. The Red Raiders coming in at number 8, first time we've ever been ranked in the college football playoff poll, so we get off some nasty lists there. But just kind of before we dive into the game and everything, that first rankings were pretty telling on what they think about the Big 12, what they think about Texas Tech. What are your thoughts on the Red Raiders coming in at number 8 in the first CFB playoff poll?
I don't really care a lot, to be honest, just because you have a huge game this week that's going to determine a lot.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're still like 5 weeks out from the end of the season. Like, so much changes. I think it's just like fun for some fan bases to get mad or happy about. We're kind of in that middle zone of we know what's right in front of us.
Just happy to be here too.
They ranked the same pretty much like as we've been pretty much all year. So nothing's really mind blowing. And we know we got to beat the team in front of us that's coming to town on Saturday.
Yeah, I think like the most interesting things to me, I mean, yes, it's exciting to be there because we haven't been there before. Sure. So it's nice to see that. It's nice to be at kind of where you thought you were going to be. I think you and me are both a little surprised that we were ahead of Oregon. But to see where they have the Big 12 teams in there with Utah at 13 was also very encouraging. So
yeah,
there's maybe some benefits there as three Big 12 teams come in before the first ACC team in the polls. And so that makes you maybe feel a little bit better. I think if there's anything to take away from this, I think it's that there might be an opportunity for Big 12 to maybe sneak a second team into the CFP when I didn't think that necessarily before. So I think that's like my biggest takeaway from it is just how they valued BYU, us, and Utah. And having that win over Utah helps, and a big game this weekend with BYU coming in town. Obviously, if you're able to get the win on Saturday, that will do great things for you. But Texas Tech, first time ever being ranked in the CFB playoff ranking, so got that off our back. The other thing we got off our back was we finally defeated the Kansas State Wildcats in Manhattan, Kansas. First time winning there since 2008. The first time you've beat them since Patrick Mahomes was wearing a jersey here. I think 2015 or 2016 was the last time you actually beat Kansas State. So a team that's tormented you over the last 20 years or so, and you go into Manhattan, Kansas. It didn't look great at the start. Kansas was beating you 7-0. And then the second quarter happened. Texas Tech's defense kicked into gear, and you end up running away at the end with a 43-20 victory. So Dustin, what did you think about the win on Saturday in Manhattan, Kansas, and knocking off Kansas State finally?
Yeah, it was a fun game. Like you said, a little rough start, one of your most, worst first quarters of the season. But still Kansas State could barely do anything. They only scored on broken plays, like broken explosives. Like they couldn't drive on you. They couldn't get clutch third down type stuff. And, like, you kind of just revved up as the game went. Like, second quarter was like, okay, that was better. Still not great. You missed an extra point in there. And then you came out third quarter smoking them, fourth quarter really hammering them. Like, you just revved up in the second half, just crushed them, especially in that fourth quarter. And you end up with the score we thought we'd end up with, you know, just took a lot longer than halftime was 12-7. So,
yeah, it was definitely like an odd first quarter. And I kind of get it now, you know, Barron's coming back. You're trying to, you don't want to just rush him into it. But I still thought the offensive play calling was pretty bland. Once again, kind of was reminding me of the Arizona State game, where I was just kind of like, what are we doing offensively? I don't feel like we're using Jacoby Williams, Cam Dickey the right way. I don't think we're getting the ball to Terrence Carter or getting your receivers open. It just kind of felt like the similar recipe. And then things started changing in the second quarter. You kind of started opening things up. You got the ball to Terrence Carter, who was able to break one and kind of get you starting to roll. And then after that, the offense really took care of business. They had, you know, that stretch in the fourth quarter where the game was still kind of within reach. I think you're up by 9. There was a couple drives there where you wish the offense would have executed, ran a little bit more time off Cam Dickey with a bad fumble that, you know, you can't have in that situation, that kept giving Kansas State life. But it felt like your defense just was playing with like so much energy, and they were just like, cool, we're ready to get back out here and lay the lumber on these guys. And they were able to just flip the game completely. Of course, it was Romello Heights strip sack and John Curry from the 806 with the scoop and score, and that really iced the game there at the end. Just I don't know. Is there anything else you just kind of want to get to? Because this has been a long time coming, and a huge win for you to set up what's coming up this weekend.
Yeah, huge win going into this week, and you're playing like a similar team. We'll kind of get into that a little more in a bit, but. Yeah, kind of monkey off your back, like in a place like where that's what you want to be, who they've been for the last 20 years, like tough, physical, disciplined team, you know, until Matt Wells gets a hold of you, you know, kind of ruins everything. It's great to see. It's great to see how dominating the defense was. Yeah, the turnovers were crazy. J-Rod crazy again. Like, Avery Johnson was never comfortable. Like, you've now, like, we're like 2/3 away in the season, but you really see like the defense is the calling card for this team for sure.
Oh yeah. You can just see it. It's And Joey talked about it, I think, in his presser, that like the first time he played Chris Klieman's Kent State team, that he was like, I'm trying to build this type of culture, this type of physicality. And you could see it, like, you just, and you've seen it in several of these games, whether at Utah, whether at Houston, whether now Kent State, it's like this defense just wears on you, wears on you, wears on you. And then fourth quarter, they're still playing at that same level, and your offense just breaks down. And you've seen it now in so many of these games where teams just can't get anything done against you in the fourth quarter, turnovers, and then what seems like it was a close game all of a sudden is a 43-20 victory. Which this game never felt really that close to me, even at 9, with that 9-point lead where it was just kind of going back and forth. Nobody was doing anything. I never really felt like they were going to do something to beat you in this game. I thought the only thing that might have happened is if you do something stupid and beat yourself. And like, that's when I got nervous when Cam Dickey fumbled there. I was like, oh gosh, because this was the only way I thought is like you do something that gives them the ball and great field position, and then all of a sudden the energy and everything, momentum switches. But the defense just had it on lock. They were confident, they were playing. I think one of my favorite things was going back and kind of watching some of the videos they posted, the like video of all the takeaways that we had. If you just listen to the sounds of the guys like laughing and having a good time after they get a turnover, I could just like listen to that on repeat. They were just having much fun.
Mine was after one of them, John Curry picked up a J-Rod fumble and then gave it to J-Rod. Like, here you go. I got this for you. Thanks for punching that.
Yeah, I think that was Wisnowski who recovered that. And maybe then they all just immediately ran.
It was cool to see them give it back to J-Rod for getting it out.
Yeah, so that was pretty fun. Before we get more into the defense, J-Rod and their performance, thoughts on Barron coming back and playing? You know, he missed the last two games, two and a half games. You count the Kansas game What are your thoughts on him and his performance against Kansas State? He goes 21-32, throws two touchdowns, did have the pick on the first drive, 249 yards through the air. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I thought he played well. I mean, no, he's not out here Graham Harrell, Patrick Mahomesing this thing, but we don't need him to do that. We've mentioned we had a great running game going. I mean, Cam with 74 and Jacoby with 135. That's awesome numbies. And, you know, you beat them at their own game. And then later in the game, he did make some dime throws, like you said, to Terrence Douglas or Terrence and to Caleb Douglas. And so, like, came up when he needed to in that third and fourth quarter, which was nice to see, and kept him alive and healthy. So that's the most important thing. And like, you never felt like you stalled out during drives with him. I'm saying, you know, you weren't dropping back and being like, oh God, like you really only stalled out when you would get a false start and you're plus 30. So, that's what I want to see from him. I mean, he just got to go out there and not mess it up for you.
Yeah, I agree. I thought he, you know, took a little bit to get some rhythm going. I think he started getting that rhythm at the end of the second quarter and then just kind of like looked like the normal Barron that we're used to watching there in the second half. I thought, yeah, he you could see some of those throws. He had a couple dots to Caleb Douglas, had one to Reggie Virgil on the sideline, had another to Reggie Virgil that Reggie – I think just kind of mistimed the jump and dropped. But I thought in the second half, he looked like the guy who can go win you a game like this. And that's what we wanted to see, is we need to see Barron be able to go win you a game like this on the road. And so he definitely looked like the quarterback and definitely got that kind of mojo at the end. I appreciated that we kept kind of trying to push and score on them, you know, after that last interception. You know, game was pretty much over, but, you know, we take another shot at the end zone there. And I think, like, there you're just trying to get a rhythm back with Barron and these receivers and get everything going. And I'm kind of glad that we just kept pouring it on, because I think Barron needs the reps, need to get that kind of mojo back for what's going to be a big end of the season coming up. And the running game was fun. Yeah, Jacoby Williams broke one, broke a long touchdown run out there for you in the third quarter. He had 135 yards. Cam Dickey was also good for you with, I think you said, another 70-something yards on the ground. What are your thoughts on the running game, which was something that kind of struggled after the Kansas game? It was something you needed to get back, but it looked like we got back to what the running game was kind of supposed to look like this last weekend.
Yeah, and this one might have looked a little different. Especially in the first quarter, we ran a lot of wildcat. I don't know if that was just by design or to get Barron out of the damn way or what, but it ended up working. And really, like, you want the ball, especially if you're running in one of those two guys' hands, not necessarily Barron's. So why not do it? And yeah, just Jacoby's playmaking ability. Cam will just keep running you over. Like, great recipe for success. We can do it when we want to. Also, I mean, 40 rushes between those two guys is awesome for a whole game, like wearing teams down over 200 yards. Like, that's what you want to do, wearing on people. And that helps your defense rest up and helps that fourth quarter. You get back out there after their defense crushes them. Like, it all just plays together so well. And we have two guys that are very capable of doing it now that they're almost done with their sophomore years.
Yeah, and I just think they complement each other so well, just the way that they run, the way that they play. There's really no drop off when one of them's in. You know that they can both run through a guy, you know that they can both run around a guy if they need to. So they're just a lot of fun to watch. And what I think really gives this team, makes this team so dangerous, is having the two of them. And you can really tell this team is so much different when Jacoby's getting touches, and he's just so electric. That touchdown run, I mean, they should have tackled him like three times, but he's just so athletic that he's able to just get by, make it look like an easy touchdown run when just about every other player would have been caught and tackled on that play. But yeah, he just changes kind of what this offense can be. You've kind of started to see us use him a little bit in the return game. We didn't get to talk about the Oklahoma State game because we were out last week, but he had a kickoff return for a touchdown in that one. So he's looking healthy, and that's going to add just another dimension to this team that's really good right now.
Speaking of that, real quick, we got to get we got to get a new punt returner.
Yeah.
Coy has the yips of catching the ball back there. It's every game. It's multiple times a game. Not shitting on him, but like, try someone else. Try Jacoby. I don't know. Somebody else, though, but he's dropped a ball every game.
Yeah, and that, and he's like dropping passes too. He's like, he's kind of got the yips everywhere. I don't trust him to be back there anymore. It's always an adventure, and I don't want it to be an adventure. No. He had that one good punt return against Arizona State, but that's pretty much, you know, I think he had one in another game, but other than that, I'm kind of like, I'm kind of done with the experiment. Let's get somebody out there who's going to catch the ball, secure it for us. So, yeah, I'm done with that experiment. The defensive side of the ball, well, they were flying around having a good time on Saturday. Five turnovers for the defense. Two forced fumbles by J-Rod. Bryce Pollock got himself an interception. Ben Roberts got himself an interception. And Romello Height with a strip sack. So the defense was having a good time. Probably should have had six turnovers. There was another fumble that was reviewed and turned back. But if you watch the other J-Rod forced fumble, that one kind of looked similar. So, you know, five, six turnovers, whatever you want to call it. What are your thoughts on the defensive performance on this past Saturday?
Honestly, it was pretty incredible. Like, you got the pressures you always have been getting. But just the turnover train was crazy. I mean,
yeah,
you start out throwing a pick when you're almost in the red zone. You're like, damn it, that was a good chance. And then literally Pollock gets it back for you first play, which was caused by the pressure of
David Bailey.
And then he had Lee Hunter right in his face the whole time to throw it. So threw a bad pass there. He also forced, I think, one turnover on downs, maybe two. So chalk that one up as well. It was just almost every time out. It's like, how are we going to get the ball back? Watch this.
Yeah. It was fun just kind of watching them. And then, like, they just kept building off of it, getting excited, just the way they play for each other. They're just really fun to watch. David Bailey got another sack on the day. Romello Height with a sack.
His sack was incredible. The tackle didn't even touch him. He just went so fast, dipped under, and next thing you know, Avery Johnson's turning around into a sack.
Yeah, and that was at a point in the game. That was in the second quarter, I believe, where you had, you know, you just gotten the lead and you're up 9-7. Can you get a stop and maybe get a stretch your lead? So he was causing problems, Romello Height causing problems, which was the, you know, the strip sack and the fumble, which basically ended the game, which was a huge play. And this defense, yeah, you're seeing them break the will of these opposing teams, down the stretch. It's really fun to watch them just kind of do their thing. What are your thoughts on J-Rod too, who's finally starting to get some national attention for a Heisman campaign here, which Texas Tech fans have been pushing for the last several weeks, but you know, finally he what he's doing on the field, you just can't help but mention him in the conversation now.
Yeah, I think we've kind of forced it down people's throats enough that they looked into it and they're like, oh, they're not just trying to force feed this to us. They're being for real that he has the same numbers as Manti Te'o from 20 years ago. And he was a Heisman runner-up that year.
Seven forced fumbles, though. Like, that's crazy. And like, when you compare his stats, it's like the only thing he's like lacking on is tackles, but he has seven forced fumbles to make up for it and two interceptions and a touchdown.
I mean, his tackle numbers are still way up there.
Yeah.
He's not like leading the country in tackles, but he doesn't need to on this team. But like, if you get close to him, that ball's coming out. Like, good luck. Like, it's incredible the rate he's doing it at. And usually we pick up those fumbles is the other thing.
Yeah, that's another thing. It like bounces right to us. It's fun watching him play. I mean, he'll be up there in the discussion of best defenders at Tech ever if he keeps doing this, and who knows how the season's going to end for him. But, you know, he's approaching Dwayne Slay levels of forced fumbles.
I think he's doing it better than that because he's not just knocking dudes' heads off.
Yeah, he's doing it legally. He's doing it like you can see him 5 yards out, get ready to like punch that ball, and then boom, he just hits it perfect every time. It's pretty incredible. He's a pretty fun guy to root for. It's been fun watching his wife get on Twitter and tweet out every day for Heisman. Last night he was playing dudes in college football in Raiderville. So J-Rod, just all around good guy and one heck of a football player. Defense got the job done for the Red Raiders, held Kansas State to 20 points. Red Raiders get the 43-20 win. Since we weren't recording last week, we did not get to do our tailgate bets. I kind of gonna guess though that we were gonna take Tech to cover. I was gonna take Tech to cover the I was gonna take the over. I would have probably taken Tech first half. I don't know what our fun bet would have been, but I can't remember exactly what my score. I think I had like 38-24 was my final score, or something like that.
I had 37-21 or something like that, so I was close as well.
Yeah, in that range. So before we move on to the big event coming up in Lubbock this Saturday, we got to go ahead and open up the club another time for the Red Raiders win over Kansas State. So somebody turn on some damn music.
Who in here trusted?
Somebody turn on some damn music!
Who in here trusted?
All right, Club Red opens up. The Red Raiders have their 8th win of the season. So let's hand out some VIP passes for this week. Dustin, offensive side of the ball, which route you going?
I think there's two easy choices here, so I'll just go ahead and take one off the top. Jacoby Williams being explosive in the run game. You're getting him touches everywhere in the pass game, in the return game. But, yeah, busting a 41-yarder for a tutty and also had 135 yards. He's just game-changer. I think he also got nominated this week for, like, basically the athlete of college football type deal.
Do it all guy.
All around athlete, you know? So, yeah, Jacoby gets one.
Yeah, rightfully so. I'm going to go with the guy who found the end zone twice. That's Caleb Douglas, who had 8 catches for 82 yards, 2 touchdowns. They made him run an extra play for that first touchdown, which was stupid, even though he was had like the ball all fully extended into the end zone.
He did get in there, yes.
He did get in. I appreciated that we got him the ball to that the play after, so he got to make it count, and then had the touchdown to put the game away there at the end. So shout out to Jacoby Williams and Caleb Douglas on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, Dustin, I mean, obviously, J-Rod always gets in when you're the best player on the defensive side of the ball in college football. You always get in. Any other guys you want to shout out this week?
I really love John Curry in his game, especially these last few weeks. Like, he didn't come out of nowhere, but, like, the level he's playing on.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think next year we're going to fall off from J-Rod that far with him. Like
with him and Ben Roberts, like, yeah,
he's in the right spots at all the right times. He's covering these tight ends or whoever you want, running backs. Like, he's everywhere. He's making plays, and then he's right there for the scoop and the score as well.
Yeah. And he hits hard.
He hits hard, dude.
He has like 2 hits a game where I'm like, oof, that had to not feel good. Yeah, that's a good shout out there. I'm going to go with Bryce Pollock, who had the interception. Had a fumble recovery, also had a big fourth down tackle for loss on Avery Johnson. That was really impressive. Wanted to shout him out. He's gotten a couple mentions here before when he had his 2-pick game, but I thought he's been playing great corner for you. Deserves to get shouted out because you're not having to mention his name a whole lot because you're just not really throwing the ball at him in his area because he's playing pretty damn good defense. So shout out to Bryce Pollock, John Curry, Jacob Rodriguez, and we'll throw Romello High and David Bailey in there too.
Always. Like,
these guys are just always doing one hell of a job playing defense for the Red Raiders. So that'll do it for our recap of Texas Tech and Kansas State. The 8-1 Red Raiders now shift their focus to this Saturday. The big one, the biggest game in Lubbock since 2008. Maybe the biggest Texas Tech game ever? Question. We'll get to that a little bit later. But the number 8 Texas Tech Red Raiders, 8-1, Overall, 5-1 in conference, take on the number 7th ranked BYU Cougars, 8-0 and 5-0 in conference play. Saturday, 11 a.m. kickoff with game day in town. Dustin, your thoughts before we get into the game itself, just kind of how have you been enjoying the buildup this week with all the excitement, the buzz, college game days, you know, they're starting to set up. Most of the cast will be in town probably tonight and tomorrow. Raiderville is absolutely popping. What are your thoughts on just everything surrounding this game and what we knew at the beginning of the season was going to be probably a big game has turned into just something I don't think any of us really expected it to be.
Yeah, massive game. And yeah, it's been hyped up appropriately. I wouldn't even say it's overhyped because even in this day and age of cameras everywhere and you got, you know, Snapback Sports off of YouTube and TikTok, they're in town already.
Josh Pate's coming in, I think.
McAfee will do his show from probably the, you know, Mahomes room or something tomorrow in the facility.
Cody Campbell, like maybe Cody's or Joey's office or who knows.
Like you're getting a ton of publicity. That's the awesome thing about it is, you know, McAfee and all these guys will be in town tonight and tomorrow and get the full tour and see what we're really doing and building here. And like, it's just a great platform for you. And yeah, BYU did what they were supposed to make it a great game. And, you know, historically BYU is much, much better of a team than you. So there's also that kind of monkey. You just defeated Kansas State as one of those perennial programs. Here's another one right on your doorstep and like going to be a tough matchup. So I going to have to lock in type deal. And you can debate biggest game in school history. I mean, take whichever one you want. Doesn't matter to me because, like, got to go win the game. Like I said in the college football playoff bracket, like, you need a dub here. You don't have room to mess up anymore. So, yeah, it sucks that it's 11 o'clock just for the fans.
Yeah.
Maybe that's better for the team to just wake up, get ready, and go. Yeah, I'm very excited for Saturday except for the waking up at, like, 6 or 7 a.m. part.
Yeah, that's not going to be great, but even if the game is at 7, we'd still probably get up early to go watch game day anyway. So we just get to watch game day and then roll right into the game after. It's exciting. You can kind of feel the buzz around town driving home from work today. Just kind of feels a little bit different, the energy. I'm sure tomorrow will feel pretty crazy too, just that night before with things starting to kind of happen around campus. Raiderville has an incredible amount of tents. Didn't think it was possible to do that, but there's tents lined up all across the concourse, onto in front of the stadium. And so just crazy. Looks like they're having a good time, all those students. I'm not jealous. I'm glad that I never had to do that. It seems like it would be fun to do the campout thing, but I also just like knowing I'm going to get into the game nowadays. But, you know, it looks like they've had a good time. I've seen, you know, there's DJs. Nyjah was out there supporting. The football team came out, is giving them multiple meals. So they're having a good time there. Having game day back is the first time since 2008 when Texas is coming in town. It just, like you said, it's a good platform for your program. Get a chance to show off. Get a chance for these guys to be on TV and all their interviews team posted today, you know, talking to game day. You could see Barron, you had Jacob, you had, you know, Lee Hunter, all these guys doing interviews with game day. So it's just really cool opportunity, for the school to be on this kind of platform. And, you know, hopefully YouTube TV and ESPN get it back together. Maybe I don't think they are before then. Cause that way, I mean, I wanted to rewatch the game day recording, but I don't have ESPN right now.
I think McAfee is posting it live on Twitter.
Okay. So there, I just want to be able to watch it back later.
So, yeah. How that's going to come out later. I don't know, but I saw something from Utah last week that they let him live tweet. Video cool. The whole thing, so I don't know if you can rewatch that later or what.
Yeah, usually if you record stuff on Twitter, you can usually go rewatch it somewhere. But
yeah, his whole show will be there tomorrow.
Yeah,
that's on YouTube regular. Yeah, so you can watch that for sure.
Yeah, I'll probably be tuned in for that just to see where he's at, what he's talking about, what kind of interviews. I'm sure Joey will be on with them. Yeah. Probably a few other players. You know, if Mahomes is in town, will Mahomes be on with them? Andy Reid, who knows?
I think that's got to be a given that Mahomes is the game day picker, right?
It has to be, right? He's on a bye.
It's so easy.
He's wearing his galvanized ice jersey.
It's a uniform game.
It's like the match made in heaven. Like, this is what we were planning for at the beginning of the season when we did this, and then that it all comes to fruition is nice. But now we've talked about all the thoughts around the game. What about your thoughts on the game? Texas Tech, BYU, two very good teams. I think two teams that play football pretty good on both sides of the ball. You got two pretty good offenses, two pretty solid defenses, teams that are taking advantage of the NIL era, teams that are trying to set them up to be the powerhouse of this conference. And I think right now, when you look at all the sports, I think it's kind of right now us and BYU when you take into the NIL effect. But your thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, going to be a tough matchup. Well-coached Kalani Sitake, almost got his name backwards there.
Solani.
10th year at BYU, great coach, always has his team ready and disciplined. I mean, I put this very team-wise and, like, coaching-wise, like, up there with Arizona State and Kansas State.
Yeah.
Like, you're probably not going to get in a 50-40 shootout here. Turnovers are going to matter a lot, and So are penalties a lot. I mean, they have a +10 turnover margin. That's massive. Now, you just had Kansas State coming at a +9 turnover margin, and you were able to get them. So can you do it again? Now, we saw, like, Arizona State, we didn't get any turnovers.
Yep.
And how could the offense play without that? Like, you're going to have to deal with a lot of the same stuff as those two games, with physicality and really good coaching. And so going to have to be ready and on your P's and Q's. I think having a loss on your record maybe makes you a little more height awareness going into this type thing. You look at BYU's schedule, they haven't blown anybody out. They're not crushing anybody, you know? So I think you can, if you can get to them early, you have a really good chance to just keep it on them.
Yeah.
If you let them hang around, you know, they're probably not going to screw up later to give you one. So, like, getting out on them early is probably big, big thing. And they're coming off a bye week. That kind of sucks.
Yeah, that kind of sucks. I don't know if I, like, really attribute bye weeks too much in college football, like, as good as they are in NFL. I don't know. I've seen us come out and lay duds after bye weeks. I've seen us come out and play great after bye weeks. I don't know. I definitely don't like them having a week of advantage to watch us and just get to know our team better, know what we're trying to do. But like you said, there's a team and a program and a coach who's really built a culture, who's going to go out there. They're just going to go play football. They're going to do things the right way. They're not going to really hurt themselves. They're going to try to make you do that. And you just got to go out there and match them, see if you can get them to turn the ball over. You got a freshman quarterback on their side who hasn't played in an environment like he's going to play in Saturday. So you hope that you can, maybe the crowd can rattle him, cause him to make some mistakes. You've got a defense that, you know, is opportunistic and ready to capitalize on those opportunities when they present themselves. And there's going to just be kind of, I think it's going to be kind of similar to the Utah and Kansas State game, where it's just going to be kind of close. And then that in third, fourth quarter is kind of where you can break them down and pull away and get yourself the victory in this one.
Yeah, I like your point on the quarterback. Like, he's played very well. He's good. Make him play more quarterback than running back in this game. Yeah. You have good secondary guys. You have great pass rushers. Don't let them just kind of use him as a second running back and, you know, Avery Johnson make Avery Johnson be a quarterback and look what happens. You know, not as fun, is it? So hit him quite often and early, you know. Let Lee Hunter get in his face a little bit. Try to rattle him. And, yeah, hopefully you can break him come that third and fourth quarter.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, we'll just go ahead and stick on the defensive side of the ball and then switch up and go into offense. But yeah, I think you know, you've seen a lot of quarterbacks like him, so this isn't nothing new. You've already played several quarterbacks like that, and so far you've done a pretty good job. Avery Johnson was able to break up a couple for you, but you know, I never did anything that really like totally scared you. I think, you know, he's a different style of runner. He's a little more physical. He kind of craves the contact. But I think, you know, it's going to be a tough offense. I think it's going to be a tough environment for him to play in. I'm very excited to see like kind of how he does, because I think he's a pretty solid player. If I'm BYU, I'm pretty confident in him. But right now, this is an offense that averages 433 yards a game. They are very balanced. As balanced as they average 216 yards in the air and 216 yards on the ground a game. Also averaging about 36 points per game. So, I mean, his offense that wants to run the ball, LJ Martin's a really good running back. He's a little hurt. He should be back, but he does have like a sprained AC joint on that shoulder. So that might change how physical he wants to run. Does he want to get hit by these guys often in that shoulder, or does it kind of cause him to want to go down a little bit easier? He's a weapon. Chase Roberts, their leading receiver, is a guy that you got to get familiar with. Parker Kingston, another receiver for them, and their tight end Carson Ryan, kind of names to watch on that offensive side of the ball. Any other things like defensively that you're looking for here as they go up against Bear Bachmeier and this BYU offense?
No, yeah, you hit them all. Just in Big 12 play, because that's what I like to look at now. They're sixth in scoring and fifth in yards. He said 32 points a game. It's what they're doing in the Big 12 play. So, I mean, still playing a top five offense in the Big 12. They're not going to – they shouldn't, you know, go over top of you or break a bunch of plays, but they're just so consistent and very good at what they do.
Yeah, they're going to try to be methodical. They're going to try to wear you down. They're going to try to be physical on the line with you, see if they can hold up against our line. But, yeah, I mean, it's an offense that I really think you got a good shot because, you know, the run game hasn't hurt you at all this season. No running back's been able to do anything on you. It's really only been quarterback scampers here and there.
Yep.
And I think you've done such a good job of containing that of them. I'm not really worried about him busting one or two. That's okay. But I really want to see what, you know, make him try to throw the ball, make him try to panic, get David Bailey and Romello Height and AJ Holmes and Lee Hunter in his face. And I bet he's going to make a few mistakes here and there. And can you capitalize on those? Is it going to be like Arizona State where you're just close and you don't get it? Or is it going to be like Kansas State where you're right on top of the ball and you get those turnovers, and that's going to make a huge difference?
Yeah. Speaking of like the defense and run defense in Big 12 play, you're by far number one in rushing defense at 91 yards a game. TCU is second at 128, almost 40 points more.
Yeah, that's crazy. So I feel pretty confident about our defense.
Yes.
I mean, like, that's the consistent thing of the season is trusting this defense and, you know, seeing if another team can actually figure out a way to put up more points on the scoreboard than you. Offensively, Barron, like we talked about, looked like he was kind of starting to find his rhythm at the end of the Kansas State game. He goes up against, you know, a pretty solid Big 12 defense. We're currently BYU's like the third best defense in the Big 12 right now. They're giving up 318 yards a game, 188 through the air, 129 on the ground. They give up about 17 points per game. So your thoughts on Barron, Mack Leftwich, and how this offense has to attack the BYU defense?
Yeah, they're going to be a solid defense across the board. The Barron part, I mean, I'm looking at it in conference play, 5 games, 10 sacks. I don't have the pressures up here. Obviously, once again, you're leading those stats by a lot. Yeah, try to keep Barron up. I think your best bet in this game is your running game against their run defense. Their run defense is ranked 13th in the Big 12, allowing 180 yards. That's where the big gap is in all these stats in this game, is that your run game versus their run defense. And so, yeah, they're good overall, but, man, if we can run the ball and keep wearing them down and then quit having red zone penalties and yes. score touchdowns, we're great. You know, quit hurting ourselves later. You know,
yeah.
I think we can run it and finally break them.
And that was going to be my key, is Jacoby Williams and Cam Dickey, and yep. getting them the ball and letting them go to work and letting that get your offensive line to move their defensive line, create holes, create space for these guys to run, kind of let them do their thing. And then if Barron, you know, can hit the big throws when he needs to, get the ball to receivers when he needs to, get the ball to Terrence Carter, Jacoby Williams in space, let those guys go to work. I think that's going to be huge. Just being able to run the ball when you need to run the ball, and just consistently do that. You've seen every time you've been able to do that, you dominate.
I think we can have a similar offensive game as Kansas State in this situation.
Yeah, I agree. I expect us to come out a little bit more firing in the first quarter. That would be my hope.
I got a stat for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is from Greg Werbel, BYU guy on Twitter. Tech has outscored opponents in the first quarter 119-13. That's Texas Tech's best quarter of the season. That's also BYU's worst quarter on defense. They have allowed 41 points in the first quarter on defense. So, and 34 great. In the second quarter. They get better as the game goes. So, like, your first half, first quarter, second quarter, you come out fire, and you could really jump on these dudes.
Yeah, sounds great to me. Let's come out. Let's ride that energy in that first quarter. Come out, put some points on the board. Let that defense do its thing. Build that lead and propel the Red Raiders to a hopeful dub on Saturday. Before we move on, let's go ahead and get our tailgate bets in for Texas Tech and BYU. Right now, the current spread is Texas Tech minus 10.5.
Woo!
It's kind of creeped up there. It was at 8.5, now 9 and 10.5. Dustin, which way are you going?
I think it came out as 10.5. Might have moved a little bit during the week, but...
Yeah.
That kind of tells you what Vegas thinks of these two teams, if based on just scores and stat sheets. But I have Tech covering that.
I do as well. Over under 52.5. What do you got?
I am just over that.
I am over as well. Your score prediction?
Oh, man, it'd be funny when we had the same score here. 34-21, Texas
Tech. Oh, my God.
Same score?
Yeah.
Let's go. I just don't see BYU trying to kick many field goals, especially late.
Yeah, I think they're going to try to score when they have opportunities.
Yeah. And then you've seen how our offense kind of just chips, and then breaks you, and defense helps you score. So I think you can get into that 35 range in this game.
Yeah, that's kind of what I agree with you on that. I think this might be a similar, maybe where it's close, and then you kind of score a couple points at the end, a couple touchdowns or a field goal at the end to kind of break it open, or you already have just a nice lead and BYU tries to creep their way back into it, but you've already kind of had a comfortable lead. So we'll see how that plays out. First half spreads, Texas Tech minus 6.5. I'm going to go with Tech to cover that. I think we probably would lead by at least a touchdown at halftime in this one.
I think I have to take that now with my awesome first quarter stat stuff.
Yeah,
I think I have to take it.
First and second quarter, yeah. I think if anything, they're going to have to come back on you. And then our prop bet, we talked about it. The running backs are going to be key in this one. So we'll do the running back duo. Cam Dickey over under 68.5 yards. Jacoby Williams over under 63.5 yards. These were lines that I found on Fantasy Underdog or Underdog Fantasy.
You're telling me BYU gives up 180 yards a game and they're only going to get 130?
Yeah.
No, I'll take over on both of them.
I think I'm going to do over on Jacoby, and I think I'm going to do under on Cam, because I think it's going to be one guy is going to kind of dominate, and then the other might still have some pretty good numbers. But I think like either one of them is going to go off, kind of like in the Kansas game, whereas Cam Dickey, I feel like one's going to go off. One's still going to have a pretty solid day, but I'm going to go over Jacoby under on Cam. All right, so to recap, Texas Tech minus 10.5. Me and Dustin both taking Texas Tech. Over under 52.5. Me and Dustin both taking the over. We both predicted a score 34-21. First half spread, Texas Tech minus 6.5. We're both going Texas Tech. And running back duo, Cam Dickey and Jacoby Williams. Dustin's going over on both, and I'm going over on Jacoby Williams, under on Cam Dickey. All right, so that is our tailgate bets for the week. Before we get out of here, real quick, we'll touch on a couple things in our final shots. First off, Dustin, do you want to cover the basketball or?
Sure. Yeah. All right. Basketball kicked off on Tuesday against Lindenwood College.
Yeah.
If you're like me, you had to look them up to see if they were real and where they're at. And I also still don't remember.
I thought they were just an apartment complex.
So, yeah. And we basically charted out our third team for this game. Yeah. We found out while in the arena on Tuesday night that three of our starters were not going to play. We kind of figured two of them might not. Lawan Watts and, oh, I forgot our center's name.
Luke Bamboye.
Bam. Bamboye. They were in boots, you know, during most of the fall. Then JT Toppin was also held out. And then
Josiah Mosley.
Mosley. I was like, I've already lost count of who.
And then Leon Horner got hurt in the game.
Leon Horner went out. So we were down five dudes quick into this game. But it was basically the Christian Anderson show. I think the offensive game plan was, hey, do whatever you want, Christian. It's your time. Atwell also played well. New addition. He's going to be a stud in that, like, basically fourth dude.
Oh, yeah. He's going to have a lot of fourth dude
that's already putting up 20 points and a bunch of threes. Like, he looked pretty salty.
Going to get a lot of looks.
The funnest part of this game was just the lineups we were putting out there at some points. Because we were playing with one center, no power forward.
Nolan Groves.
Our one small forward got injured. So then we had a lot of times where we were putting out 4 or 5 point guards on the floor.
Yeah, you're running Nolan Groves at center. 6'5" Nolan Groves, freshman.
6'5" Nolan Groves started, freshman out of Minnesota, also super jacked, and he was also like your backup center a lot of times. He ended the game with 16 rebounds.
Yeah, freshman record.
Freshman record. Brooks, yeah, what did you think of the game Tuesday?
Yeah, I mean, it was fun to get back in the USA. It's definitely not exciting that like half your team's injured at the first game of the year, but I think they're just trying to be cautious because you got Illinois coming up. So I expect maybe most of the guys to be back for that one. But yeah, I was excited to see Christian Anderson, and, you know, he's gotten a lot of buzz this offseason, and he looks everything the part that we thought he was going to be. 34 points, 11 assists. I think he had a stat line that nobody's had in like the stat era. He also had like 4 steals or 5 steals, something like that. He was just all over the place. Looks like, you know, he's going to be very tough to defend. He's going to be a star like we all kind of knew and suspected. And yeah, I mean, it was a bummer to not to get to see some of the other new pieces, but I enjoyed watching Donovan Atwell knock down 6 threes. He hit 17 threes, broke a school record for most threes in a game. Leon Horner, I thought, played really good in his minutes before he got hurt. It was nice to see Mariel Ikuntak play a little bit. He looks like a guy who can maybe give you some minutes. They're not going to be big minutes, but, you know, it looks like a guy that maybe you can trust to come in and play, you know, a few minutes if you needed some foul trouble or something like that. Petty is very athletic. Excited to see kind of him grow. There's been some buzz about him being like last year's Christian Anderson. He's very athletic. You know, and this was good for Nolan Groves. You know, it'll be interesting. I don't think he was a guy that anybody expected to really play a lot, but you go out there, you get 16 boards and you take advantage of that. Maybe he'll see himself onto the court a little bit more, but definitely good to be back at the USA. Excited for this basketball team, and we'll probably talk about them a little bit more, but right now our focus is on obviously Joe McGuire and them boys.
Yeah. Last little tidbit. Grant McCaslin's coaching, like this was a Final Four game against Lindenwood. I mean, he was on Nolan Groves' ass all night. He was on the ref's ass. Like,
yeah,
he was still coaching at a very high level. And I love seeing that with the kind of roster we have and the fan base that we have for this game, for this team.
Yeah, it'll be exciting. Things get real quick as the Red Raiders head to Champaign, Illinois to play Illinois next week. So big games coming up for basketball. We'll dive into that a little bit more when we have the time to. My final shot will be a shout out to
piggybacking on you, man.
Yeah, both fan bases this week. If you haven't heard, I'm sure a lot of you have now, especially if you're on Twitter. Ivan Ortiz, the barber for the Texas Tech football team's wife, was hit by a drunk driver a couple weeks ago and is in critical condition in the hospital, and they put out a you know, GoFundMe to get some help, and BYU fans got a hold of it, and now the total has surpassed over $100,000 in donations.
Well, I saw $150,000 earlier.
$150,000. I mean, the total just keeps got in going on it. Up. Right. Yeah, Kirk. And so just like one of those things, this is why you like sports. And my wife's always like, why do you like sports? I'm like, it's the instant connector with anybody. And it's just like one of those really cool things to see a fan base kind of rally behind somebody that, you know, that you're going up against in a, as an opponent, but we're all, you know, in this, living these lives together. And it's just fun to see them come together for a cause like this and just show the kind of fans that they are. They're, in my opinion, the best addition the Big 12's had so far. I've enjoyed their program so far. I've enjoyed dealing with their fans. I just think it's a really cool moment by both fan bases to come together for a family in need and kind of put the game beside and stand on what humans and dignity and being good is all about. And so shout out to BYU and their fan base for doing that. It's just been really cool to see and continue to see that pot growing. So shout out to all BYU Cougar fans out there. I know a lot of Red Raiders have soft spots in your hearts for you guys now for doing that. And, you know, hopefully we all have a good time on Saturday, and I hope that y'all are made sad by what happens on Saturday, but hopefully we can enjoy it all together. I'm sure there'll be lots of blue in the fans, in the stands there on Saturday. Anything else you got this week?
I'm good. Yeah. That's what I was going to piggyback with you there.
Yeah. So, we want to be thinking about Ivan and his wife, Maddie, during this time. And, you know, hopefully all that money can help them get the procedures and everything they need to get done to get Maddie back to Ivan and their family. But with all that said, no easy way to transition on that one, but it's a big weekend here in Lubbock. It's a big weekend for Texas Tech. We are excited. We hope that you all have fun at your early ass tailgates. Get out to game day. Get into the stadium. I've heard that they're going to transition to doing the show in the stadium for the last hour. So if you can't make the show, at least get in your seats. You'll be able to see the final hour of the show and the picks and all of that right before Texas Tech and the BYU Cougars get kicked off. So we hope that you guys have a great weekend. Enjoy those early morning tailgates. Enjoy some Red Raider football and hope those Red Raiders get the job done and get the victory over number 7 BYU this weekend. So with all that said, peace.